Here we go. Let's dive in. Exodus 20, verse 7. This will be the third commandment. Actually, before we read this, let's do as we do every week. Let's recite all 10, okay? We're going to do it by memory this week. And so let's see how you're doing. All right, here we go. Number one, I'm just kidding, guys. Put the slide up. That's kind of mean. All right, here we go. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Number two, not make an idol for yourself. Number three. Number four. Number five. Number six. Number seven. Number eight. Number nine. And number 10. Amen. Let's pray. God, as we dive into your word right now, your moral code, we know it's still intact. We know it's elevated. God, as your ambassadors, as sons and daughters who represent you in your kingdom, I pray that today, Lord, as we dive into this third commandment, that your word would come alive in us, that we'd be empowered to repent if we need to repent, to get on the path that you set before us, all for your honor and all for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So here we go. This third commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Depending on tradition or where you were grown up, depending on Bible translation, you may say it, you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. And so here is a command that God puts in place when it comes to the name of the Lord. And he makes this very strong stance, right, that we shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Exodus 20, verse 7 says this, do not misuse the name of the Lord your God, because the Lord will not leave anyone unpunished who misuses his name. You know, when you think about a name, you have a name, I have a name, right? When it comes to the name of an individual or a name of a person, right, it carries something. It carries your character. It carries your reputation. It carries your nature, right? Just like me, Anthony. My name carries a reputation. It carries some of my nature. It expresses my character. And so here, when God would talk about putting this commandment in place, that thou shalt not misuse the name of the Lord your God, understand that when we look at the name of God, which in the Bible there's over 350 names that the Bible would express of the character, nature, and reputation of God. And so when you look at some of those names, and I have a list, I'm not going to go through all 350, and I know that many of you would probably say, praise God, but there are several, right? Elohim, God, Mighty Creator, Yahweh, I Am, El Shaddai, God Almighty, Adonai, Lord Master, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord Will Provide, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord Who Heals, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord Is My Banner, Jehovah Ra'ah, the Lord is my shepherd. And we know Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the Son of Man, Yeshua, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I like to say everything in between. Emmanuel, God with us. Abba, Father, the bread of life. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And that's just a small list, but the Bible is full. As we did it several months ago, we showed throughout the entire Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation of how there's a name of God in every Bible, in every chapter. And so when it comes to this third commandment, we understand that there is a character, a reputation, and a nature of God that the Word tells us that we are not to misuse. If you think about New Testament, when Jesus would teach his disciples how to pray, in Matthew 6, as the disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? He said, pray like this, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You look at that word hallowed, it's haguizo. And what that means is to make holy the name of the Lord, to consecrate, to set apart, to treat as sacred the name of the Lord. Why? Because God is the I Am. It's the highest form, Yahweh name, that is referenced in all the Bible of the God Almighty that you and I serve, the Most High God. And He is to be reverenced, He is to be feared, He is to be loved, He is to be honored. His name is not to be misused. His name is to be lifted on high, praised by all the saints, which are you and me. And so God would encourage us to understand that this name, which is the name above all names, carries a character, a reputation, and a nature. Amen? So my question would be this as we dive. Who is God to you? What does the character, nature, and reputation of God Almighty, the one who you serve, the one who I serve, who is He to you? And as you have been walking on the earth, how have you and I been treating the Most High God? Is He still high and lifted up? Is He still someone that we honor, that we bow down to? Or have we misused or maybe misaligned or dishonored the name of God or utilized His name in vain in any way? I'll be the first to admit that I have broken this third commandment, pretty much every commandment. But I pray that today, as we dive through this and we look at three of the most common ways that you and I would break this third commandment, that it wouldn't be something that we just think, you know, no big deal and keep on moving, because it is a big deal. It is a big deal for you and I to recognize the holiness and the majestic and the splendor and the awesomeness of the name of God, who you and I represent. Amen? Amen. So let's look at three particular ways that this third commandment is violated. The very first one is blasphemy. Blasphemy is to say something about God, who He is, or what He does that is contrary to His nature or His word. Blasphemy is probably one of the most common, if not the most common way, that we violate this third commandment, that we shall not misuse the name of the Lord our God. And so when we look at blasphemy, one of the most common ways that we violate this is through cursing and through profanity. You know, and you hear it all over TV, you hear it in music, sometimes you hear it in conversations, right? You have people throwing the GD word all around. And maybe sometimes we even make an excuse and say, well, I'm not saying God, I'm saying got with the T. But GD's thrown around. Sometimes we do something and out of anger we yell Jesus Christ. Or that we blame Him in some way, like whether we're walking or something breaks or we stub our toe or maybe we're hitting a nail and we accidentally hit our thumb or something happens and there goes that GD word being thrown out there as if God's the reason why we did whatever we did that inflicted pain on us in that moment. When really God isn't the one to blame, it's our bad aim, right? But honestly, how many times do we see it? How many times do we hear it? That we are speaking damnation on the Most High God through profanity, through cursing. And not only that, we talk about how many times we blame God for many things when things don't go the way that we want it to go. Can I tell you that living a Christian life is not about you and my agenda, but it's about God's agenda. And we have hopes, and we have plans, and we have things that we want to be accomplished here on the earth, and we want God to get on board with what we're doing, and when things go on a detour, they don't turn out the way that we thought they would, or maybe by an interpretation of Scripture, then all of a sudden God's the blame. Can I tell you that when it comes to a kingdom life, and when it comes to you and I as Bible-believing Christians, that we have to recognize that the call here is not God be a part of my plan. It's to understand the merciness and the faithfulness and the graciousness that God allows us to be a part of His plan. There is no end to this kingdom of God. As He would say, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But oftentimes with blasphemy, we curse and we profane or we blame God, being disrespectful and dishonoring and misusing his name. Sometimes we make a mocking or a joke about God. But understand that even though there's no ill intention, it's just to laugh and sometimes it's just humor. But can I tell you, it's not humorous to God. For his name is holy and he is majestic. I thought about this for myself. If my kids, right, Jalen, Addison, Abram, even Jacob now throwing a fit, right? Like, if they just ran around and cursed my name and blamed me for everything, which they kind of do that already. But if they did that, and I just smiled about it, and they were damning me, and I'm not cussing, I'm using the word damnation, right? Which is speaking death and hell on my... I mean, would I just kind of laugh and think, oh, no big deal? No, no parent would do that. No parent would sit back and say, oh, it's totally okay. That when it comes to me as their dad, or Jerica as their mother, or you, maybe even as a grandparent, right, that it's okay for our kids to just run around cursing and using profanity and saying whatever they want about our name. But yet, when God looks at us through his lens and through his perspective, how many of us as children use profanity and are cursing and are blaming our Father who art in heaven? So much so that even it's become slang when it comes under blasphemy, right? This misusing or maligning or disrespecting, maybe even dishonoring the name of God. It's even got to this point where we use it as slang, right? Good grief. Holy cow. Right? It's not that we're trying to use good Lord. Man, that's God-awful. Lord, have mercy. Oh, my God. How many times do we find ourselves just saying those things? And nobody sent me a text saying, well, you're up there just breaking that third commandment left and right, Pastor. I know I am, but I'm connecting the dots. And the elders can get the rod on me after this, okay? Here's what I've learned. Sin is sin, and when you call it what it is, then you're now accountable to it. So the reason why we use examples like this is because once we call it, the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer today, the Holy Spirit will not let us just get away now that we know the seriousness when it comes to violating and misusing the Lord's name in vain. So, blasphemy, right? It's the most common. We do it through cursing and profanity. We do it through blaming God. We do it through slang, like it's no big deal. Not only that, but blasphemy also occurs when we claim God to be something that he isn't. This happens all over the place. It happens all over the place where we could read scripture and it could be very clear to say, this is who God is. This is his character. This is his nature. This is his reputation. You know, if he was for things then, he's for things now. If he was against sin and called things sin then it's still today. It's written on the wall. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But yet when you look across our culture, right, when you have people who stand in the pulpit and they preach a certain thing about God or they say a certain thing about God that's contrary to his reputation, character, and nature, and now all of a sudden it's okay for God, and now it's all of a sudden it's okay for us as the bride of Christ, as sons and daughters, and we justify it, it's not okay before the Lord. Let me get a little bit more real. Okay, God is against homosexuality here. He destroyed an entire village, place in Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, through God's grace and his mercy, he will receive anybody, because sin is sin, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's anger, whether it's whatever the case may be. And God says, come as you are. And when you come as you are to the Lord, he receives you as you are in hopes that through the relationship with Jesus, through the surrender to Jesus Christ, and beginning to walk with Christ, that it's through the love relationship that he begins to purge that out of your heart, where you're no longer a slave to it. But when you have places called churches who say, no, come as you are, be as you are, God loves us all, he gets us. Let's just continue going, and God is just so loving. And there's zero transformation. That is not the church of Jesus Christ. if you have pastors and preachers and leaders in the church that claim to, you know, give permission, whether it's transgender stuff or whether it's adultery stuff or whether it's having 10 wives or 10 husbands, whatever the case may be, if God has spoken on it, it does not change. And blasphemy takes place when people, churches, when God has said something, but yet we twist Scripture and we claim that this God is so loving and so amazing, which that is who He is. But God will never tolerate sin. God extends the invitation to receive us as we are in hopes that through the relationship, transformation will take place. That's the God who we serve, who is loving and merciful and kind. So if you struggle with any of that stuff, I'm not condemning you. Or if there's something else, I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying, God loves you so much that He recognizes the darkness of sin and the slave to cultural stuff. And He has so much more for you, so much more for me, that He wants to pull us out of that. And there's nothing more freeing and nothing more liberating than surrendering to the One who loves you so much. And He wants the best for you. Amen? Amen. Anyway, so blasphemy. All right, here's what God says in Leviticus 24:16. Whoever blasphemes, this won't be on the screen, whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put, it will be on the thing. There it is. Sorry. Whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death. The whole community is to stone him. And if he blasphemes the name, he is to be put to death, whether the resident alien or the native. So blasphemy, I'm not saying we need to go back to this, all right? But what I am trying to connect the dots is that it was a capital offense back in the day to use profanity about God, to misuse His word, to speak down to Him, to do anything that would dishonor, abuse, or misalign the name of God. Like, people would be stoned to death. If you look at our history as an American country, early 16, 1700s, there was still capital offense when it came to blasphemy of the Lord your God. Like, it's that serious. So we just need to be aware that when it comes to this specific, that we just need to be aware that God's name is holy, His reputation, His character is to be held in the highest honor, that we are to consecrate His name, which means keep it sacred, worship His name, praise His name, thank His name. And we're not to blaspheme the name of God. Amen? Amen. So let's realize the significance and the importance of His name. So I said three ways that this third commandment is being violated. Number one, blasphemy. But not only that, but also through perjury. Also through perjury is a way that we violate this third commandment. And perjury is simply this: making false oaths or promises in God's name. Making false oaths or promises in God's name. Now, this commandment is not a prohibition, okay? It's not saying that God is against making oaths in His name or swearing to tell the truth in His name. Now, I know sometimes we can look at this third commandment and say, thou shalt not use the name of the Lord God, you know, use God's name in vain, and we can say, there's no swear to God, there's no oaths before the Lord, or you are violating this command. Now, to a degree, that's true, but the bigger part of that is that's not true, because the Bible even tells us here, Deuteronomy 6, he says this, 6:13, fear the Lord your God, worship Him, and take your oaths in His name. Fear the Lord your God, worship Him, and take your oaths in His name. That's Deuteronomy 6:13. So God's not saying He's against us taking oaths. We have to take oaths in several different ways. You know, if you have a court hearing and you have to swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth to help you, God, that is making an oath before the Lord. If you're married today and you made an agreement before God and the witnesses to take this woman or this wife to honor, to love, and to cherish until death do you part. You made an oath before God. Now, I know divorce happens, and through God's grace and his mercy, he cleanses us, redeems us, but those are examples of oaths that we do before the Lord. So God's not against making oaths. He says it in his word. However, you can see in Matthew 5, it won't be on the screen, okay? Jesus is talking, and he's talking about letting your yes be yes and your no be no. And the context here in Matthew 5 is when Jesus is saying, you don't have to swear by heaven and swear by earth and all this stuff. And he's basically saying, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. In other words, the character should be able to back up our word. When you and I are talking to people and whenever we're trying to make a hard statement, oftentimes you can hear people say, no, I swear to God, I swear it is this. No, I swear, as if we use the name of God to validate what it is that we're trying to say. And when we do those kind of things, yes, we are violating this third commandment. Why? Because Jesus teaches that yours and my character alone should be enough to validate whatever it is that we're saying. We should be men and women whose our yes is yes and our no is no, and we shouldn't have to swear to God or bring God's name into it to help validate us. When we do those things, we are violating the third command. And God speaks to that in Numbers 30, verse 2. Let me share it with you. Numbers 30, verse 2, it says this. When a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath, to put himself under an obligation, then he must not break his word. He must do whatever he has promised. So in other words, if you're going to bring God's name into something, according to Numbers 30, verse 2, then you're basically swearing an oath. You're putting yourself under an obligation before God that you must not break your word. And if you break your word, then you're breaking this third commandment. But the common thing should be this. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. That we don't have to invoke God's name in order for us to prove a point. Amen? Amen. So perjury, there you go, perjury. Saying, you know, swear to God to make it more convincing, making vows and promises in God's name that are not kept. Right, that's a way. But here's another one that perjury gets violated in this third commandment. And this is more common in church than you would think. And it's this: false spiritual authority. And what does this mean? This means when all of us as sons and daughters have a word for somebody, or we're trying to share something, and we use the name God said. I'm not saying God doesn't speak, because he does. But what I am saying is that sometimes people will use God's name to manipulate others or to justify personal agendas, to bring a weightiness and a heaviness to a word, to an individual, a church, or anyone, and invoke the name of God when God never said it. Sometimes perjury and spiritual abuse happens when we try to share something and say, God told me, and we share it when God never said it. I have seen this happen. One, it dishonors and misuses the name of God. And number two, the person who you're sharing the word with, they may trust you and think this is from the Lord when it absolutely isn't. And so for you and I, as sons and daughters, when it comes to this third commandment, that thou shalt not use the name of the Lord your God in vain or misuse his name, we need to remember that his character, his reputation, and his nature is tied into the Lord. So we don't blaspheme his name by profanity. We don't blaspheme his name by making joking remarks. We don't blaspheme his name by claiming that God is something that he isn't or that he's against in his word. We don't violate this third command, right, through perjury by making false oaths or making false agreements with God. And we don't violate this by saying God said when God never said it. When we do that, we are violating this third command. Amen? Amen. This is a form of blasphemy, right, that misrepresents God and misuses his authority. When God speaks, God speaks. Everybody good? All right. I remember I had to work through this before I share it with you, so. All right, here we go. So these first two, right, blasphemy and perjury, have, if you think about this and this third command, right, blasphemy and perjury have everything to do with what we say. Okay? Remember, I told you, I'm going to give you three specific ways that we break this command. These very first two have something to do with what we say. But can I tell you that violating the third command doesn't only take place by what we say? The third way that we violate this is by what we do. So if you're taking notes, blasphemy is one, perjury is two, and number three, the third way that we break this command, where we misuse, where we dishonor the name of the Lord, not only blasphemy, not only perjury, but through hypocrisy. Why? Because as Christians, sons and daughters, we carry the name of Christ. As Christians, as sons and daughters, we carry the name of Christ. Growing up, pre-Jesus, okay, you may have been carrying all kinds of names. Maybe the name of your family heritage. Maybe you're a mistake. Maybe you're not loved. Maybe you're abandoned. Maybe you're reckless. Maybe you're a sinner. Maybe you're a lazy. Maybe you're whatever word. And they stick. Names stick. Even after a believer. People can say things to you and say things about you and label you. But as believers, none of those labels are supposed to stick. That the ultimate label that sticks and the ultimate name that sticks is who God says that we are. Forgiven, redeemed, freed, righteous, holy, made new, loved, seen, valued, Christian. You bear the name of Jesus Christ. I bear the name of Jesus Christ. And because of that, as the Bible tells us that while we are on earth, that you and me as sons and daughters, we are representatives of God's character. We are representatives of God's reputation here on the earth. So whenever yours and my behavior does not match what you and I say that we believe, when our lives bring reproach upon the name of the Lord, or when we worship him with our lips and not with our lives, then what we do is that we do things here on the earth that misuse, dishonor, and disrespect the name of God because we are his image bearers. And so, therefore, if we live that way, we violate this third commandment. So it's not just about what we say, but it is about what we do. So where does grace fill into all this? Grace is always available, right? It's his unmerited favor that he pours on unworthy people. But we have to be so in tune with God, and we have to be so aware especially when it comes to his moral standards, that when we find ourselves violating, that we're quick to repent and we're quick to ask God for his forgiveness. Now, I know he's forgiven us, but when you go to the Father and you ask for forgiveness, he cleanses us of all unrighteousness. He's faithful and he's just. It keeps our heart aligned with the Father, and we continue to live life. So there is no shame, there is no condemnation, right, for us, but we do need to be aware that when it comes to this third commandment, thou shalt not misuse the name of the Lord your God. It's not only in speech, blasphemy, and perjury, but it's also in action through hypocrisy. Amen? Amen. New Testament, Colossians 3:17 says this, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are the ambassadors for Christ. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal through us. So we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Amen. So not only is our lives to be representatives of God's nature, right? God's reputation and character through you and me as image bearers, but we're also, as the church collectively, to be ambassadors and representatives of his kingdom. Remember, there's a lot of things that go down all around us, but we belong to Jesus and to his kingdom. Amen? So it's just a call to up is what God does here for us. So I want to end you with this. We'll have the worship team come in, and they'll play for us. We'll worship together. I was thinking about this for a second, and I started thinking about Moses and that burning bush. When Moses was drawn to that bush that was on fire, and God is speaking to him through it, and God is getting ready to send Moses, and then the Lord tells him, telling them what to do and how he's going to be used to free the children and all this stuff. And Moses is a little hesitant. He's a little scared. And he starts asking questions like, well, what if they don't receive me? What do I tell them? Who do I tell them, sent me? What if this or what if that? And all he says is, tell them, I am sent you, which is the Most High God. And I would tell us the same thing today. This call of being representatives of Jesus Christ here on the earth is not easy. We will fail because we live within a body of flesh. We're not to live perfect lives because there's only one who's perfect, and his name is Jesus. But that doesn't give us the license to just be mediocre and to go with the waves of the culture. You wear the name of Jesus. You bear the name of Jesus, and we should share the name of Jesus. People may not ever get to see God, but they get a glimpse of him through you and me. What an honor. What an honor it is that Jesus would make his appeal through us. But what if I don't feel like I'm good enough? What will I say if they don't receive me? You tell them that I am sent you. So let your light shine, church. Let our light shine. So how do we, if this says, thou shalt not, misuse the name of the Lord your God, what's the good thing? What are we supposed to do? How do we not misuse? How do we honor? How do we show the fear of the Lord? And how do we do this when it comes to his name? Well, the first thing I'd say is thank him. Thank the Lord for everything he's doing. All those names, provider, healer, he's your banner. All those things have to do with his nature and who he is for us. If you need healing, great, he's the healer. If you need a blessing, great, he's the blesser. If you need love, great, he's the one who created it. If you need a friend, he says, I'm no longer just your master, but I call you a friend. If you feel fatherless and alone, he says he's a father to the fatherless. So God is always available. He's always around. He's always willing to be exactly what we need him to be in the moment. So honor him with your mouth. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord in the little things. And that's how we go about not misusing and not misrepresenting and dishonoring God Almighty. We say thank you. We praise you. We let our light shine for him. Amen? Amen. Would you please stand? I want to leave you with this before these guys lead us. Psalms 86, 11 and 12. This should be the cry of every heart today. Teach me your way, Lord. Actually, just repeat this after me. Say, teach me your way, Lord, and I will live by your truth. Give me an undivided mind to fear your name. I will praise you with all my heart. Lord, you are my God. And I will honor your name forever. Well, let's worship together and honor the one who's worthy of our praise. Hey, there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, not only do demons flee at the mention of his name, but salvation takes place at the mention of the name of Jesus. If you're dealing with something today, call it what it is. Maybe it's sin, maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's depression, maybe it's loneliness, maybe it's fear. Call it what it is. And then say the name of Jesus. Because the name of Jesus is above all names. Amen. So I want to pray and bless you. And if there's anybody here who hadn't given their life to Jesus Christ, I pray that today would be your name. I mean, that today would be your day. That you would know how much Jesus loves you. How much Jesus wants you. How much Jesus wants to free you. Yes, we have the moral code that we have to live out. But the very first thing is surrender. So God, I thank you for this body. I thank you for the body that's with us, God, online. God, I pray that today, through our declaration, that we wouldn't have an undivided heart, that you would teach us your ways, O Lord. Holy Spirit, we call upon you in the name of Jesus to empower us. Lord, that we wouldn't misuse, misrepresent, dishonor your name. That we wouldn't violate this command, God. But that we would bring honor to your name by the words that we speak. That we'd bring honor to your name by the way that we live, O Lord. We thank you for your mercy and your graciousness to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But I bless these people today. Let them know how much they're loved. Let them know how much you're with them and that you're for them. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, and we bless you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you so much. If you need prayer, please come get prayer. If not, you have a wonderful day. Equipped on Wednesday, and then next Sunday, Lord willing, we'll be in commandment number 4.